The Old Testament reading for the 14th Sunday after Trinity is written in Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Galatians chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the 14th Sunday after Trinity is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Thus far the text. I began to write a sermon. It started off with, we have 175 on our rostered member list, soon to be 176. And I was going to say, which you'll probably hear next year, I'll finish it. Would it not be right for our Lord, being that we average 80, 176 on the rolls, that our Lord would ask, "Where are the other 100? Maybe the 9 said, "It's Labor Day weekend." It's understood that life can be busy with the ins and outs of faithfully fulfilling your different vocations. But not often enough do you sit down and truly ponder the Holy Scriptures. As with other actual events from history, events inspired and written for your hearing, learning, and inwardly digesting, this event that you just heard, along with all of them which you hear each and every week, should, there's the key word, should absolutely stop you in your tracks and take your breath away. You just got done hearing how 10 lepers cried out to the Lord for mercy and were healed completely. That was a real event in history. Now, it doesn't mean that you're supposed to roll in the aisles and speak in tongues or handle snakes and wave your hands in the air to show God how much you're moved by his word. But still, when one takes the time to ponder these actual events, historical events, even in the slightest, what conclusion must they come to? Anybody who ponders them deeply, honestly, one would think it would be wonder, shock, even disbelief. But instead, there's this common reaction. "Oh yeah, I've heard this one before. The story of the 10 lepers. Yeah, I've heard that one before." Or, "Oh boy, I'm hearing about Jesus healing someone again. Let me guess, I'm supposed to get something out of this text so that I please God in some way." Do the miracles even impress you anymore? Probably not. Why? Because your sinful flesh brings you to be too self-absorbed. If it doesn't have something to do with you directly, if you're not getting immediate physical benefits right here and right now, your achy body doesn't stop, you don't stop growing and aging, there's not immediate physical benefits, then why spend the time on it? Sounds kind of self-centered. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. "My will be done" versus "Thy will be done." 10 were cleansed, 9 walking. But one was brought to return to the source of his healing. As they made their way to the priest, nine didn't care how their healing came about because their will was done. And in their eyes, that's all they were concerned about. That was the whole reason for crying out to the Lord. And the Lord mercifully answered their prayers. But one returned. Because God created repentant faith, brought him back. Faith did what only faith can do: receive. The one returned and truly worshiped, as true worship is defined, receiving from God what he has to give in faith. He returned because he was brought to believe that God's will was done by God through the God-man, Christ Jesus. Born in sinful flesh, faith was foreign to you, just as it was to your sinful pastor. Born in sinful flesh, you cannot, by your own reason or strength, come to Jesus Christ or believe in him. But the Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel and enlightened you with his gifts. God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh, which do not want to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. God's will is done when sinners are brought to repentance and belief in the gospel. For God desires none to perish, but all to repent and believe. You are so apt to look at verses of Holy Scripture such as this and think, boy, God really revealed how gracious he is in giving those 10 a break in life, didn't he? And he did, indeed. Jesus is revealed as Lord through such an amazing, real, historical metamorphosis. My friends, in Christ, Jesus isn't gone. It's not as though the miracles don't happen anymore. Jesus is still with you, here, to remake you, to forgive you of your leprous sins, and renew you in the peace which passes all understanding. Here, through his word and sacraments, God's sufficient grace never changes. And here's the strange irony of the way that God works through his powerful word. He wants you to know how leprous you are. And it's only his word that can bring such a revelation to your hearts, piercing its pride and breaking it, bringing it to be contrite. Now, for the Holy Scriptures, this is nothing new. Law and gospel are how the Holy Scriptures are properly divided and understood. This is how God works to bring his will to be done. Law and gospel, to bring about repentance and belief. law and gospel, to have none perish, but all brought to repentance and belief, all brought to salvation. It's only by the power of his holy word, his law and gospel. Now remember, for the Holy Scriptures, God's breaking and hindering are nothing new. It doesn't change. He will never change. It will always remain the same. But as for your fallen flesh, your forgetful, self-centered flesh, God's alien work of the law and his proper work of the gospel is always new. Your sinful flesh is always in need of being drowned, for you are neither worthy of the things for which you cry out, nor have you deserved them. But you cry out that he would give them to you by his grace. For you daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. Those are the words of the Catechism. Don't jump down your pastor's throat. This is what you believe, teach, and confess. What is being revealed to you through this real event in history is the ever ongoing, enormous opposition between the flesh and the spirit. The epistle text for today is no accident. It cannot even be credited to the people who put together the historic one-year lectionary, although we are thankful. Because it's God's Holy Scripture revealing the truth of Holy Scripture. It proclaims, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, I warn you that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is God's word, making it glaringly clear who you are in your flesh. This is God's word making it glaringly clear that you are that bad off, that you are that leprous. This is how sinful your fallen flesh is. It doesn't care. It is what treats God's word as commonplace so that you just keep walking on. Like the nine. You are that poor and miserable as you confess yourself to be. You do stray that far away. You call out for what you want, and when you get it, you're done with God for a while. It's no surprise that Luther writes in his Christian questions with their answers, in preparing one to come to the Lord's Supper, that if there is no desire for the sacrament, which is offered weekly, that if there's no desire for the sacrament, if you really don't believe that you need it, if it has become just some common thing, then you should reach down and grab a handful of flesh. Thus making sure that while you're still in the flesh, you absolutely know that you need the sacrament. And frequently, indeed, try it on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning. Just grab your cheek and give it a little shake. Yep, I'm still in it. I guess I need the sacrament. The desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Repentance is a calling to the new man in you to turn you, to go the way of the cross of Christ crucified, to die and rise through his merits alone, by faith alone. What he has finished for you is your peace and your joy. The nine reveal who you are in your self-centered flesh, getting what you want and moving on, continuing to make your way to the priest, living by way of the law, which will only reveal the flesh to be just as leprous as it was before. But the one who returns reveals one who has been renewed. He reveals where the Spirit is at work. He reveals God-created, repentant faith and what faith does. It receives from the Lord. For the Spirit can only do one thing. He brings one to Christ Jesus. The Spirit created faith in this one Samaritan man, brought him to receive such complete forgiveness, such complete renewing, that inevitably saving faith brought him to return to its very source. This Samaritan did not need to go to the priests, for as the epistle text proclaims, if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. The Spirit brought the one to return to worship the very one who would take his leprous sin, his leprosy, upon himself, taking it all the way to his crucifixion, making the way for man's true peace, the way for man's forgiveness, life, and salvation. The Spirit brought the Samaritan man to correctly praise the one who breaks your darkness. And just as he brought that man, he brings you. It's the Lord's mercy upon you that brings you back to him. It's his creation of repentant faith within you that brings you back where his sustaining of you continues. The gift of repentant faith given to you brings you back to worship him, which is to receive from him what he has to give in his divine service to you, to see you through this leprous walk of fleshly being, to hear his beloved word of law and gospel, to be torn down to nothing, to be made anew, because of the merits of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for you. It is to be made anew through him. It's dying and rising to new life only through Jesus Christ. It's to be set free from the law and to truly live in the one who is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You want those qualities? get in him, and you are in him. Against such things, there is no law, for Christ fulfilled it for you. In God's divine way, only he could bring you to be thankful for such a crucifying of your flesh. So as you are brought to stare at him who became sin for you, as you have your eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of repentant faith, as you are brought to eat his body and drink his blood, eating and drinking the very one who is your bread of life and peace, may he ever reveal your fully sanctified life, which only comes by repentant faith through the cross of Christ crucified and risen for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.